Now, this is the next chapter, Hardy's characterization. Hardy loves to depict men and women of a strength and stability of character, of a somewhat pagan severity, grand in suffering, simple in resolute. He takes for his chief characters men of powerful natures, men of the country, with little acquired virtue, but disciplined by the experience of life. He surrounds them with men of less strong character and mental refinement, the average country laborers. A third group of men is introduced to contrast with the first man of superior education and social position, but inferior in strength and fineness of nature. This contrast and contact is made more effective through the passion of love, and to this end, Hardy brings upon the scene women of various natures, clearly marked in character then, but nearer to the strong, fine men in the depths of their souls. To make the plot complex and varied, a curious group of braggarts and swaggerers is often present, as against the simple and ignorant village folk. These men, though possessing wider knowledge of the world, show the disadvantage among the country folk. Wildev, Sergeant Troy, Edward Fitzpierce are examples. Of the first named class, Gabriel Oak, Michael Henchard, and Giles Winterbourne are striking examples, although there is a vast difference of character between them. Hardy's women are as clearly distinguished as his men. Eustacia, Lucetta, Bathsheba, and Arabella are admirably contrasted with Tess, Grace, Elizabeth, Jane, Thomasine, and Sue Bridehead. On the one side are shades and lights of passion, petulance, perversity; on the other, reticence, patience, restraints. The quiet or constant nature are more refined and proud in their bearing. They suffer, but in silence and with strength, while the violent natures are in a state of constant rebellion against themselves. It may be noted here that Hardy is above all a painter of women. Nothing indeed is as rare as a writer capable of depicting with equal success the character of both sexes. Hardy does not handle masculine psychology with the same penetration. His male characters are either sensual or effeminate or else victims of a kind of internal attention. He doubtless discovered in women a complexity which remained more prominently before his eyes, a submission to instinct which involved her in more intimate relations with the whole order of things. There are hardly any villains in Hardy's Wessex, men of deliberate malice or wickedness. There are egoists of various types, some of whom become laughing stocks of their own pretensions. Engel, Clare, and Fitzpierce, conscious of one of the finer aims and ideals, the other of wider knowledge and experience than the pupil about them, make their acts a parody of their pretensions. Clare falls away from his theoretic ideal into just that petty conventionalism for which he blamed society. Fitzpierce, who thought himself worthier of grace than any of his humble neighbors, knew nothing of the value till his homely rival had died to serve her. Such men are taught by the irony of experience. Some of the men are engaging scapegraces who take our hurts by force. Sergeant Troy almost inveigles us into tolerance as he wheedled women into admiration for himself. Apart from the above types, Hardy presents us with various types of clergymen, with most of whom he has little sympathy. The clergyman he most admires is the Reverend Mr. Clare, father of Engel Clare, whose practice of life Hardy considers to be much better than his principles. The humorous element in Hardy's novels is supplied by a group of characters who also serve as a sort of Greek chorus, appearing in the story from time to time and making their comments on the passionate souls in agony. Thus, Joseph Poorgrass and his companions in Far From the Madding Crowd, Solomon Longways, Christopher Coney, and their associates in The Mayor of Casterbridge are philosophers, critics, and clouds rolled in one. They never lose their reality and become mere purpose. Their talk is pleasant and covers a variety of topics: religion, law, education, tradition, changes in commerce and agriculture, traffic, and society. Hardy understands the thoughts and feelings of his country folk by power of sympathy and close association, and is therefore capable of differentiating various types of nature among a pupil conventionally known as hose. He was among Wessex people, beings of many minds, beings infinite in difference, some happy, some severe, a few depressed, one here and there, bright even to genius, some stupid, others went on, others austere, man every one of whom walked in his own individual way, the road to dusty death.